Chapter 35. Ellie Cooper looked up as Liz Bailey walked in carrying a clipboard.
"He says you're to go straight in, Liz," she said. "Can I get you a coffee or water or anything?"
"Actually, a coffee would be marvellous," said Bailey.
"Milk and no sugar?"
"You have such a good memory."
Bailey walked into Pritchard's inner office. The director smiled up at her.
"Please tell me you have some good news for me, Liz," he said.
He was looking tired, with dark patches under his eyes.
"I've got the GPS tracking on Hurst's wife, and there's definitely something strange going on," said Bailey.
Pritchard waved for her to sit down.
"I'm all ears."
Bailey looked at her clipboard.
"Okay, so 3 days ago, everything is normal. Amanda Hurst is at home, then goes shopping, then takes her daughter to a local playground, mother-daughter stuff. Then, at 5 o'clock in the evening, she moves, heads east towards London."
"But her car is at home," says Pritchard.
"She was taken," said Bailey. "At 7 o'clock in the evening, she makes a call to her husband. One call lasting 30 seconds. From then on, the phone is off the grid. Not just switched off, because we can still track phones that are turned off, but dead. Battery out, SIM card destroyed, whatever. But the phone hasn't been seen since. The last time it was used, she was about 40 miles from her home in Hereford, in a service station outside Oxford."
"So she was taken, and whoever took her had her call her husband?"
Bailey nodded.
"That's how I read it, yes. And they were probably taking her to London." "So we've no way of tracking her,"
Pritchard sighed.
"That's a pity."
"All is not lost, as they say. It occurred to me that GCHQ could run a check of all mobile phones at the Hurst house at the time of her abduction, and again at the location where she made the call to her husband. Any matches would almost certainly be phones belonging to her abductors."
"Sounds like a plan.
It'll take time, and it's late, so there's a manpower problem. But I'm on it," she said.
They were interrupted by Pritchard's secretary, carrying a cup of coffee for Bailey and a bottle of Evian water for the director.
"Thank you, Ellie. You should really go on home now," said Pritchard.
"I'm here for the duration," she said. "I wouldn't dream of leaving you now. Not with all this going on."
"You're an angel. Thank you."
He took the bottle of water from her and flashed her a grateful smile. They were interrupted by Ian Hadley bursting in.
"Sally Page has turned up,"
said Hadley, his cheeks flushed red.
"Here?"
asked Pritchard. Hadley shook his head.
"The safe house in Hampstead."
Pritchard put down the phone.
"She's okay?"
"It seems so, yes. I'm going to head out there now to talk to her."
"We need her back here, Ian, now."
"Absolutely. But she's gotten herself into quite a complicated situation."
Pritchard frowned.
"How so?"
"The house is being used by the DEA at the moment."
"The drugs case we broke? The Mexican?"
"Exactly,"
said Hadley.
"The Mexican. Sally was outside the house and the DEA pulled her in. They're reluctant to release her at the moment."
"Are you telling me the DEA are holding one of our officers?"
snapped Pritchard.
"I'm sorry, am I missing something here?"
asked Bailey.
"We have DEA agents in an MI5 safe house."
"It's in connection with a drugs investigation we were running,"
said Pritchard.
"The DEA became involved and they needed a short-term safe house. Their presence was on a need-to-know basis."
"I would have assumed that as the person responsible for the physical security at all our safe houses, I would have been deemed need-to-know."
"I am sorry, Liz, but the Americans were insistent."
"So the Americans now set operational policy for MI5.
Pritchard held up a hand.
"Liz, I hear you, but this is a very special case. Only Ian and I were privy to what was going on."
He looked over at Hadley.
"You should go now," said Pritchard, "and explain to the DEA that we want Sally back here to be debriefed."
"There's a car waiting for me downstairs," said Hadley.
"And call me as soon as you've spoken to her," said Pritchard.
Hadley nodded and left the room. Bailey was glaring at Pritchard. She was clearly unhappy at being left out of the loop, and there was nothing that he could say that would soothe her feelings.